Welcome to Power Hour, where the editors of Power Sports Business interview the movers and shakers of the power sports industry.
Hi, everybody. Power Sports Business Magazine here, and we're with John Resinetti, who is the owner of Motorcycle Mall in Belleville, New Jersey. How are you, John?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me, and I appreciate the accolades for sure. Thank you guys so much.
Of course. So we're going to jump right in to kind of keep us on track here today. John, I thought I'd get a bit about your background. I know that you kind of grew up in the dealership. So will you tell us a bit about that and when you knew for sure that you wanted to get involved in the dealership?
Sure. So, since I could push a broom, I was in the dealership, or clean a bike from an early age. Third generation, my grandfather started the business. And my father, very shortly after him starting, took over and ran a business for 37 years. I worked hand in hand with both my grandfather and my father at the earlier stages of my career and throughout my career. It was probably the best education I could have got, both in business and in life, from working with them, and the honor of a lifetime as well to grow up in the family business and be able to work in it. So, we started out down the street where my grandfather originally started out. Tremendous story. A heck of an entrepreneur. And that would later on lead me to go to entrepreneurial studies for my degree from college, Fairleigh Dickinson University here in New Jersey. He started out, my grandfather, working in the Pathmark AMP at the time prior, and a Sears and Roebuck. They were next to each other. And the story goes, he used to stock shelves in the AMP when he was a kid for a penny every 2 weeks. And then after that, he would change tires in the Sears when he was 13 years of age. He forged his age to go off to the military to get an income for his family and started riding Indian motorcycles in the service. And from there, the rest was history. Started when he came back, successful auto body business with my father. They had four shops and grew into selling Indian dirt bikes that he would order in containers. Mm-hmm. And from there, my father's like, you need to get a place for these. I just painted those cars you're resting the bikes up against. And that's how he ended up going. And he ended up buying the existing Sears and AMP. He brokered a deal. We'll call it brokering back then, right? I call him a tremendous entrepreneur for the deal he put together, and walked in with no money out of pocket, but the money from one of the other companies out of pocket to put down a deposit. And that opened them up in business.
Wow.
It was quite the brokerage deal my grandfather did, but he was a heck of a businessman and put it together, made it work. My father shortly after got involved in the motorcycle business. My grandfather had a pretty severe heart attack at the time, and he recovered, went on many years after that. However, my grandfather starting out with Indian, when I got in here and started running it since probably about 2007 full time. Worked throughout all of grammar school, high school, and especially college. College, I would do about 18 credits a semester and 35 to 40 hours of work a week. So I was the best roommate my roommates never had, but, got the best of both worlds for sure, working here and working at school just as hard, of course. Yeah. However, it led to where we are today, and a lot of opportunities. And for me, completing a lot of my father and my grandfather's legacy is important to me. My grandfather's goal was a motorcycle mall north, central, and south. Mm-hmm. And slowly working my way to that, hopefully, in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Some fun coming on the way, hopefully. This season, we'll have something exciting to share. But he started out with Indian. I was able to bring Indian motorcycles in within the past few years. I brought them back on board, which is cool. Since that was one of the original bikes. Honda, Kawasaki were the original brands he started out with, which in the 70s, they were pretty tough brands to get. But once again, he was a good businessman to negotiate and made sure to get them both. And from there, we added Yamaha, Suzuki, Sea-Doo, Can-Am, and then we go through the entire lineup, and the brands that I brought in from about 2005, 2007 on, from prior of Kymco in the early 2000s to Piaggio, Vespa, Moto Guzzi, Aprilia. Then later we would bring on Polaris. Yes, then we'd bring on Polaris. And then from Polaris, we'd expand, of course, and bring on Victory. And from Victory, mm-hmm. we went to Indian years later. In between that, of course, we got to bring in Ducati, which was a great brand, a tremendous change to the lifestyle brand, being both Italian and Spanish, you know, that that portion, you know, hit home a little harder.
Yeah.
And then, you know, expanding further, KTM, Husqvarna, GasGas, you know, we're staying on the gas, right? So
sure.
constantly expanding and keeping the segments and the seasonality to a minimal. However, it's still a portion of it here in the state of New Jersey, but we work through it. We work as hard as we can every day. So
yeah, you guys are in a pretty big facility, right?
Yeah, we moved in here in 2012. So okay. We were in the old location, my goodness, 37 years, and mm-hmm. moved in 2012. We're 108,000 square feet. And never forget the conversations. We'll call them conversations. They might have been arguments with my father at the time, but mm-hmm. a lot of good lessons learned. And we filled the place really faster than expected, for sure. We grew into it, but you grow into any space for sure. And expansion is kind of needed at this point in the near
yeah,
future.
That's awesome.
To maintain, though. But it's been great. It's been a roller coaster. We've seen good times, bad times from 2007 to 2024 now, right? We've been through yeah. the housing bubble. We've been through a lot, COVID. Especially the COVID bubble and yeah. coming out of the other side of that one now, right? But it's been a fun, interesting ride and, of course, just exceptional times.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great to hear, too. So coming out of COVID, you know, everybody's saying now we have to sell. Like, we don't just have the product and customers are already ready to come get it. Like, we have to sell our product. So what steps have you guys taken to kind of, whether it's retraining your sales team or just kind of reinforcing the sales process?
Sure. So for us, you know, we started a little earlier than most. It's tough to steer a big ship, right? So change takes time in our organization in particular, especially as, you know, you get used to certain things. COVID times were different. You know, you were order takers. And sales really was a minimal portion of the job at that point. It's, you know, you got it, you have it, I could take it. Yes. Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And, that mentality has gone on for almost like the past 2.5-3 years. Mm-hmm. And we are coming out of it. You know, last year in particular was a different time frame as well, towards the middle and close of 23, as to, you know, taking every deal you could take, you know, inventory's here, it's showing up. It's going to be a different environment for most dealers, right? It's hard to get out of that COVID brain fog that most people had of, you know, it was just, it was easy order taking, but getting the staff back to square one where we were, you know, mm-hmm. 5 years ago, and really enforcing a lot of our processes and procedures is going to be paramount for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, barring any other shutdowns or anything else crazy we could experience, which hopefully we don't, right?
Hopefully not.
Silver lining to everything, you know, it was a great reinvigoration of our industry, brought mm-hmm. a lot of riders back in, which was great as well, and helped the growth as well.
Yeah, I have so many questions, but before I get ahead of myself, you mentioned how you got involved in the business and you brought in a bunch of lines to carry at the dealership. I was just going to clarify, when did you get involved and what year did you bring in all those? Well, not all of them, but what year did you start bringing in those lines?
So I started bringing in lines as early as 2003 when I was in high school,
Senior
year of high school. So 21 years ago, right? Going on 21 mm-hmm. years this year. But I mean, I've always, you know, been in the dealership. I started out, like I said, sweeping the floors, stocking the mm-hmm. shelves, putting parts away. The old dealership was a great experience because, you know, it was, you know, bootstrap experience, you know, everything from stacking wood to bailing cardboard, you know, everything we do today that they're like, why are we doing this? You know, scrapping yeah. metal, all the stuff we do to just cut and save as much as we could is still a part of our everyday here mm-hmm. that's helped us grow. But being in the old dealership, you know, there was a heavier amount of seasonality, which I saw. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would potentially lay off employees in the winter and things that just didn't seem like good business later on as I, you know, got into different business programs and saw stuff and trying to retain good employees. which, you know, we have a couple 30 plus year employees still with us, which is amazing, right? And I'm not just counting my father. Well, you know, he's in the 40s for years, right?
Yeah.
But it was it was really like important to me to keep good staff, right? And keep them trained and keep them happy. And from implementing some of the robust healthcare plans that we had to 401ks, to dental, vision, things that made it an actual career where people wanted to be a part of an organization and work for a family business and really go and take it to the next level, and a sense of pride. And that's what really built us, you know, and that's what we continue to enforce today. And that family feel, and, you know, me being here every single day, you know, from bell to bell, first one in, last one out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a FIFO. It's not a first in, first out. Yeah. It's a first in, last out, unfortunately. But you know what? It makes the difference. And, you know, my desk, it's funny. My desk is littered with fortune cookies, right? And the little sayings. But, you know, nothing motivates a man more than to see his boss put in an honest day's work, right? And, you know, work the hardest, show them, you know, how important it is. Everything's important to you, whether it's picking up garbage on the floor or sweeping the shop or making sure that parts are brought to your technicians and parts are put away and bikes are clean and neat and organized. But it's just, it's the basics and caring about the business that you're in every day, so that you lead by example and employees respect that and, you know, really go the extra mile.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask about your leadership approach. So it sounds like hands-on for sure.
Hands-on for sure. But, you know, in getting to the size that we're at now with, you know, 80, 90 plus employees at times, you know, we have a tremendous management team. And, you know, I say, you know, I've done a lot of this, but this is all with the help of a tremendous management team that we've had here in place. And without their strength and hard work ethic, you know, we wouldn't be where we were. It's not solely on me. It's on the staff and the great job that everybody does here. And everything is a team. You know, everything is a team, you know, from our build parties where we stay late and parts people are helping build bikes for sales, and the prep department and the setup department. And we're all working together. It's one big team at the end of the day. One big dysfunctional family, right?
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, we make it work. We all respect each other. We work hard together. And that's what makes it really successful at the end of the day.
Yeah. That's great to hear. Which that's a pretty big team. I was going to ask if you guys did anything kind of after hours or, you know, team bonding, but that's a big group to get together.
It is. The Christmas party is pretty amazing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
If you send some pictures of some of the fun giveaways, you know, this
Please
year
do.
We did a Piaggio scooter was a giveaway. So we gave away a Piaggio scooter as a raffle. We did an electric Indian e-bike. We do, I mean, probably close to 150 raffles. To 200 raffles, from coolers to, I mean, full riding gear sets, you know, you name it, gloves, goggles, helmets. I mean, we make it fun. It's really rewarding for the staff. It's a fun night just to kind of let your hair down and enjoy it, you know, and have some laughs with everybody. Sit at some different tables, talk to some different people, have some laughs. There may be some card playing afterwards, you know, that takes us a little later till we get thrown out, but we all in good fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun. We do, of course, events here for the staff. We used to do an annual fishing trip. So I'd take the team, I'd rent a boat, take everybody out fishing. My grandfather was a big fisherman. So you'll see there's some pictures behind me on the wall here. So yeah, you get two quick good ones, right? While they're close, right? So
for sure. Oh, that's great.
My grandfather taking me fishing as a kid, visiting family out in Indiana.
Okay.
You can see the original motorcycle mall hat on him up there and a cigar hanging on his back.
That's awesome.
And then clean this one off a little bit. I would clean the picture a little better, right? And then an original Kawasaki Jetmate, where I first started learning how to drive boats when I was a younger kid. So
that's awesome.
And
I mean, you just grew up in the boats, four-wheelers, everything.
ATVs. Yeah. Three-wheelers, dirt bikes, my sister's motorcycle when maybe I was not of age, you know. But, you know, you learned a lot. It was fun. But, yeah, so I'll do an annual fishing trip with the staff. I take everybody out and rent a boat. Go not too far off the coast just because people have been getting sick the past couple of years. We do some annual rides together where we'll, you know, take a ride after work, we'll go for wings, we'll take a nice little 2-hour loop, go take everybody to eat, take a nice ride back. We'll do some more stuff this season. You know, coming out of COVID and everybody, it was kind of tough, you know, with the staff to get that many people together, and then even certain restaurants and places to seat everybody. And
yeah, I can't imagine.
It was, I mean, even during COVID, we had to have stuff here just because the space, right? You know, right. Utilizing 33,000 square feet on one floor of people spaced out to eat and all the good stuff. But yeah, you know, we made the best of it. We got through it. Yeah, we do nights out. We do rides. This season, we're going to try to do some more experience events where we take the staff out. We've been doing bowling nights. We have a bowling alley next door, so we do bowling nights every year. A couple nights a week, we'll do a bowling night, which is fun. I do like Top Gun dinners, stuff like that for top sales, top performing technician, top performing service writers, parts department, apparel department, finance. And then of course I do our manager lunches and things like that to bring the team together and round table and just, you know, get past the everyday work that we do. Right.
Yeah. It's amazing. Cause that is a huge team. And, you know, I'm usually talking to dealers who have 10 to 30 employees, but it seems like you guys put a lot of thought and effort into keeping the team kind of unified and, you know, flowing together.
That's a big part. And then another big part that I like to kind of always like set the precedence on is family, right? So my parents were divorced early. So I grew up in the store because my time with my father was when they were divorced, my time with the father, and he was working and my mother was working. So I would be here at the shop after school. And that's how I learned. But for me, you know, I think the coaching aspect, the just being at the events for the kids is so important. So, you know, I make it a point to let my staff know if there's an event or something, please let us know in advance. I'm okay with it. You know, you got to leave for an hour or two so your kid could have a memory of you being at their game is more important than what we do every day, right? Family is number one, and you take care of your number one and your number two will succeed behind it. So, yeah, it's just important for me because, you know, I saw the struggles and sacrifices that, you know, my father, my grandfather and my family made to get us to where we were and to help me have the ability to grow it to where it is today. Right. In the past 20 plus years. But it's a key learning, right? Key learning in life. But at the same time, you got to make sure that you value what values you. So
for sure. I'm going to ask maybe two more questions or so on the air, but then we'll hop off the pod and I'll get some more details from you so we can get a feature story in the magazine.
Sure.
Okay. So first one is kind of a big question, but just moving into 24, what's your outlook? And if you maybe want to highlight a concern or two, an excitement or two, just kind of whatever it is you're keeping your eye on as the year gets started.
Well, since I have four eyes right now in this interview, I have a couple. I don't have a magical ball, right? I try to always predict and budget and forecast as I've been taught in my amazing 20 groups that I've joined, Spader and Garage, right? Who've done a great job for me, you know, working with them hand in hand the past couple of years has been a tremendous opportunity to predict a lot, right? And budget a lot and forecast. So for us, you know, 24 is going to be an exciting year. For me, it's the start of looking to complete my grandfather's legacy, or at least start the completion process, right? So hopefully we'll have a expansion, as I say that with a little indigestion, right? A little expansion hopefully this year, within the next 90 days, optimistically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that will be a fun one.
Do you mind if I ask expansion on the facility you're at right now or completely new?
So,
you don't have to share, but...
Acquisition, we'll call it acquisition.
Okay. Right?
So we got that going on, which is exciting. It also gives the team here, right? Because we have such a solid team, it gives them the ability for some of the people that may want to continue to grow with the organization, the ability to and reward those people as well. And, you know, have that lifetime career, you know, with a corporation that's a family business that's, you know, puts values on the value of them. So, I mean, it sets us apart, sets a difference. Not, you know, a conglomerate group. It's, you know, me every day at work. So we do it together. We get through it together and it makes a difference. So that is definitely a big one for sure. My outlook on 24, I think we should have a pretty high volume year. Paying attention to margin, paying attention to good process and procedure is going to help substantiate that further. However, it is an election year. There's a lot of uncertainty when you get close to that date. Fortunately, looking at our seasonality, it comes to the slower time of year, right? The last quarter. However, you know, you will get some uneasiness around that time, depending upon interest rates. We saw the rates stay the same recently, right? So I don't know that there's any hesitation, but as the season comes, you start to see some discounting of the rate. Hopefully that will give some buyers a little bit of relief, but at the same time, hopefully they're not still buried from prior credit issues that they may have. However, you know, we'll be optimistic. It's a fun sport. It's a great recreation. It is a alternate means of transportation with electric and hybrid vehicles coming into the marketplace.
Yeah.
It should really hopefully garner some more sales. The smaller displacement bikes, the lower price point is really helpful for getting people in and lowering the boundary for customers to enter our market, which is great. There's a lot of excitement around our market still. We have, you know, great opportunity for growth in not only on-road, but off-road segments, side-by-side, watercraft. Having inventory is going to help, right? It's going to help people ride the product more now. And prices should, I think, reflect that as well. So,
Okay. Well, yeah, you brought up electric. Do you guys carry any electric brands? So, or any e-bikes?
We did. We unfortunately, sometimes I'm a little too early to things. I might have been too early to a few of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had some lackluster years in both e-bike and electric prior. I'd say it was about 10 years too early to electric. And the last one, we'll say the company has a different direction than our industry at the time. And no hard feelings, great experience. Nonetheless, met some great people in the company. And at the same time, attracted some new customers and learned different processes in business that I think could help us as the future progresses. So,
yeah, for sure. So, I mean, electric, it does bring in kind of a new customer. Is it something that you would like? I mean, would you like to shoot for e-bikes again or anything like that?
It's still,
I think also depends on where you're at. So maybe your location isn't so ideal.
We're outside the city by a little bit, right? So we're not too far from the city, but it is a different, it's what we would call a bridge and tunnel crowd where we are, right? Because it's bridges and tunnels to get into the city. But when you're in the city, the use of electric is very high.
Gotcha.
You're seeing, you know, from city bikes that have been there for years to, you're starting to see a small branch out now. But the problem that we have now is the infrastructure isn't quite there yet for most. It's getting there. Mm-hmm. It's something we're going to keep an eye on. One of the four that I have, right? I'll be looking at that as that progresses. The OEMs, of course, see it as an area for, you know, going green, carbon neutral.
Yeah.
So it's on their radar. So it's got to be on ours. You know, I serve as a product chair for the PDAP for Honda.
Okay.
And, you know, stuff we look at, stuff we, you know, discuss. And it's on everybody's radar. I mean, we just had a Kawasaki convention where they introduced the hybrid, right? They had the electric. They've had new introduction of a hybrid, which I think, you know, might garner some more customers because it's not full electric. You have some regenerative power there and the range is much further and it's getting there. Technology, as it gets better, will of course make the ease and use that much more
for sure
accessible for customers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any last thoughts or anything that I didn't ask about you'd like to share here at the end?
I don't know. I mean, just we'll continue to work hard. I appreciate the opportunity, of course, to be here. We were dealer of the year quite some time ago when my grandfather was around, which was great. So he was here to see everything happen and just appreciate the honor and the accolades, of course, as we'll keep working hard every day and keep forging forward.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, John.
Thank you, dear.
If you like this podcast, please like, share, and subscribe. We also invite you to connect with us on powersportsbusiness.com.